So welcome everybody. This is Michelle and it is January. What is the date today? January 7th. Look, it is 2021. Happy New Year. This is our third call in our practical application series and I'm super excited to be here with you today. So whether you're here live or you're listening afterwards in the recording, we've got some really important material for you today. So today we're going to be talking about speaking. So I want to begin in Shavasana. All of our deepest words, all of our best stories begin in that quiet place, that place of that's beyond words, a place that where we can tap into our deepest self. And so you can either do a seated meditation, or especially if you've been working with me for a while, you can lie down in Shavasana and just find a comfortable place where you won't be disturbed. So find a place where you can close your eyes, just breathe, take this time for yourself. And again, for this part, camera on, camera off, whatever you're comfortable with. If you're lying in Shavasana, make sure that the lower back is comfortable. Extend the legs out, release them to the floor. Arms are in a low V, palms up position. Softly close your eyes. If you're in a seated meditation, then have the heart center open. Make sure that you can feel the openness of the heart in the position you're in. Shoulders back and down, whether lying or seated. Eyes softly closed. Scan the body for any tension. Where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Feel the openness of the heart center, broadness across the collarbones. Relax the shoulders. Soften the throat. Relax all the tiny muscles of the face, the cheeks, the jaw. Let the forehead be smooth as butter. Soften the space between the eyebrows. Soften the temples. Relax from the temples to the outer corners of the eyes. And let the eyes sink inward toward the back brain, letting the mind become quiet. Feel the breath. What is this breath like here and now, today, in this moment? Watch the breath. And if you find your mind wandering, as mind will, gently without judgment, bring your focus back to this moment, back to this breath, here and now. Feel the ease of this moment, the ease of this breath. Know that this quiet place is available to you anytime. It's right there with this breath, here and now. Allow the breath to deepen. If you're lying in Shavasana, bend the knees, roll to the side. Press yourself up to sitting, rejoin our circle. If you're in a seated meditation, softly open your eyes. And join us here in this circle. Camera on whenever possible. So that we can be present here together, here and now, visible. This is practical applications. Get results with your words. We're going to get results with our words. We need to be talking to another human being, someone we actually see and be seen by. And it's great to practice that here. Welcome, everybody. I'm so happy to see you. I've missed you. Feels like I haven't seen you in 5,000 years. We're in a whole new year. Happy New Year. So a couple of announcements to begin. So first, our next call date. So we're meeting Thursdays this month. So January 14th, 21st, 28th for our next three calls in the Practical Application Series. And if you are a member of our Love Your Words community, we have something super special coming up for you. It's a full day workshop. A virtual workshop, virtual retreat, Influence as Story. That's Tuesday, January 19th. Make sure if you're in the Love Your Words community that it's on your calendar. So what are the specific stories that we need to tell and the specific actions to take to go with it for massive influence in 2021? What is it that will allow us to be seen, to be heard, to grow our message in massive ways through the power of story? So full day retreat, if you're in the Love Your Words community, make sure it's on your calendar. Tuesday, January 19th. All right. So that's it for announcements today. I wanted to start, because we're here at the beginning of the year, with a practice that I've had for many, many years that has really moved the needle for me, that's really changed how my company has gone, how my year has gone. It's a very simple practice that I'm going to encourage all of you to do, and that's to choose a word for the year. When we don't choose a word, a theme for the year, words are very powerful. I choose that theme, that intention. It infuses my year. It pervades my year. Everything shifts around it. And when I don't choose a word, it tends to descend into chaos. Anybody ever had a year like that? It's chaos, right? I didn't name it. And then there it is. It's all over the place. For the very first time, so I've chosen different words at different times. What's the word that's there for you? For the very first time, I've chosen two separate words because I know more and more the separation between my company and me. I have a word for my company and a word for the very first time I chose two words for me. So my words this year, my word for my company is growth. That's already happening. That's what we're in the midst of. There's no stopping it, right? So to be on that path of growth. That's a path of service as well. That's a path of, you know, helping people, right? But growth, we're focused on growth. And then in my personal life, the personal words I've chosen, ease and flow. That growth is happening, which it already is. Let it be with ease, let it be with flow. My year for last year was alignment. And for 2021, oh my goodness, there could not be a better word for me anyway to choose to remain aligned through that very interesting year of 2020. So I'm going to give you a moment in a second to choose that word for your year. Strongly encourage you to do it and just know, just let it land. You can add it to the chat if you want. But just before you do that, I want to think for a moment about 2020, because a lot of people have been saying, good riddance, 2020, goodbye. And kind of cursing 2020 as it leaves, you know? Well, if we're cursing our past, then our future self is probably going to, curse that past, which is now. Why would we curse ourselves? Why would we do that? I think 2020, and I'm not minimizing the illness, the deaths, the economic hardships, the things that are happening out there in the world, political upheaval, etc. We all know this stuff. I'm not trying to minimize that. But my economy does not need to be the world economy. What happens to me, stuff happens in the world, but what's my story? What am I telling about it? What kind of year am I having? And for me, 2020 has been a banner year. 2020 has been an extraordinary year. Deeper connections, greater growth, new insights, new innovations in the company, greater freedom in the structures of my company and my life than I've ever had, more rootedness. What's it been for you? So I just wanted to meditate there for a minute about 2020 and choose your word for 2021 from that place of plenitude, from that place of the best of 2020, whatever that was for you. So take a moment to breathe in the best of 2020. Let it go with a breath. And now take just a minute, choose your word for 2021. We'll take a quiet moment here. All right, my words came to me pretty well that quickly and I stayed with them. Doesn't have to be hard. So, and I see Marnie already, 2020 was achievement, 2021 impact and momentum, I love it. So feel free to share it in the chat and I would love to hear from one or two of you, what's the word that you chose for your year and why? Just a sentence or two and having it witnessed is extremely powerful. And owning it. It's like, I can choose the word. I know what it is. Andrea, thank you.
Sorry, it took me a second to get to mute. My word for this year is construct and construct. Because for what I want to build, but also recognizing that we are a construct in ourselves in the way we think. So I want to hold that in the forefront and make that lead where I'm going and who I am going to be this year.
What am I build myself. I create myself. I create everything that I am, my vision of myself, who I imagine myself to be, and thereby the world in front of me. And the words that I use around who I think I am create that being that I think I am, and thereby the world. Talk about practical applications. Get results with your words. What if we start at the root of the words that we can choose for 2021? Andrea, beautiful. Thank you. And I see the words rolling in, compassion and fun, passionate resilience, listening and receiving. So interesting. I chose two words this year. I'm hearing a bunch of two words. It's never happened for me before. One word, two words, all good. Jasmine, thank you.
So my 2020 word was quantum leaps, which definitely happened for me and my business. Huge growth, having a team now, amazing. And the end of 2020, you know, I wrote down exactly quote for, you know, a quote about not cursing ourselves, because the end of 2020, as you know, for me was a very, very trying time and was probably one of the most trying times since I burned out of my career and decided to not do the 9-to-5 anymore. And going into 2021, I'm realizing how much my passion got me through that time and how much resilience, which is one of the core values of my company, really got me through. And thinking about all the goals that I have this year, passionate resilience is what's going to get me to those goals so that I can continue building on these quantum leaps that 2020 gave to me.
Jasmine, I've got chills. And yes, there's been a lot for you. And to come to that place, that passionate resilience and building on the quantum leaps that happened with everything going on, well done. Thank you. All right. So anyone else, anything else bursting to be said? Really want to share that word? Anyone else? Okay. Thank you. So feel free to go share those in our Facebook page for practical applications. Go and share. And you can share in the way, like, here's my words and here's why. It's impactful. It's powerful. And it's the opposite of having a year of chaos, right? Especially with what's going on in the world today. Like, wouldn't it be nice to chart our own course, right? Thank you. Beautiful. All right. Let me see. I wanted to take, so we have some wonderful questions posted and wanted to do a little bit of review, remind us where we've been, because it's been a few weeks since we've been together. So let me decide on the order here. I had it questions first, but is that right? I think I want to re-presence it first. I want to re-presence like where we are. Where were we here? You know, I know you're all doing many things. Hope you had a wonderful break over the holidays. I hope you had some holidays. I hope you remember to do that. A few years ago, I didn't even remember to do that, you know. So did you remember to take time and space for yourself, right? And then where were we? What is this journey of practical applications? Get results with your words. So let me just, I want to have my notes in front of me just because I want to make sure to touch on the most important points. Just take a couple minutes here. So first, you don't hear a lot of formulas from me, you know. Fill in the blanks, formulas. I can, if you ask me, and I have done that, I've generated them for people before. It's not hard. You can go to the internet and Google it. You can find tons of them. So I can generate one for you if you want. And I'm not trying to diss that. Sometimes it's a fine place to start. But it's as if I've got my elevator pitch, blah. And what do I say before? What do I say after? Have I even looked at that person? Is that even what matters to them? So, you know, our words are a conversation. Our words involve a real engagement, real connection with a real person in front of us. Yeah, so what doesn't work? Formulas. It's not, at least it's not my way. It doesn't mean it can't work. It's not what you're going to find here, all right? The other thing that doesn't work, and I think a lot about that, one of the places I started from was a book by Robert Cialdini is on influence. You know, what is it that creates influential words? And when you read the subtext of that book, and it's in so many other similar books, it's like, words are a war, a weapon, and it's persuasion is power over. It's like, how do I manipulate so that I'm in the right place and that nobody else is going to manipulate me? And I'm like, if that's what you're looking for, this is not the place for it. You won't find it. You might as well hang up. This is just not the way that I see the world. I don't think we need to engage in that way. In fact, I think some of the things we're seeing in the world come from that view of words and persuasion and power. And what if we could do something different? And this doesn't just belong in the realm of women, but it's amazing, compassionate, gentle men who do this as well. But I love, you know, the Dalai Lama said the Western woman is the one who will save and transform the world. Now, what if we have a different perspective to bring? And what if it starts? What if our words start from relationship, connection? What if our words start from win-win-win, right? So that we're uplifting each other as we speak and as we do our work. So this is the energetic foundation for practical applications. Get results with your words. It's not some kind of power over. It's not some kind of fancy trick, right? The other thing I want to mention, it's not a war. The other thing I want to mention is sometimes we think of our words and we go right to, let me spend, I've seen lots of people do this. I'm starting a business. Let me get my website up. Let me go do, you know, spend $10,000 a month on Facebook ads. Let me get, you know, all these things, they're far away. And there's no real live person with two eyes, a nose, and a mouth that I'm actually speaking to. What if we started close in with real people? And then move to far away, and we can use that principle in different ways. And I love what Karen said. It was a couple weeks ago. He said, but Michelle, I didn't do that. Oh, wait, but I spent years in the classroom with a whole bunch of people, twice, and I'm perfecting that, you know, close in skill. So when we take a closer look at it, to me, this is the way that world works. If we don't know how to do that, we can't jump to that other place. And even if we do jump to that other place, we're going to be missing opportunities in our business that we might never have known. I see Karen, I'm nodding hugely. You know what I mean, right? So start close in. Networking, whatever that means in your company, talking to a real live person, right? One-on-one. And speaking, sales conversations, making offers, not starting online, but talking to a real person and seeing how they interact and then using those skills to move to further and further away. It doesn't mean we can't be doing some of these things simultaneously, but sometimes people have said to me, Michelle, you just saved me 6 months off my journey. Because it's like, wow, I got a new business. I got to get my website up. And I've just, you know, paid somebody. I did that when I started 9 months and, you know, five figures to create that website that created no business at all. I just didn't know any better when I left the university in 2007. Now, I loved it. It was a work of art. As far as I can tell, I don't think it ever brought me any business. You know? So let's not start there. Right, on all the Facebook ads and even social media. It's not that those things are wrong. It's not that we can't do some of them simultaneously. But if we start from far away and the long journey, a lot of businesses die on the ground because we're starting from way too far away. And we're not getting the low-hanging fruit. We're not getting the easy stuff and starting there and building our skills from there. So the four principles of persuasion, right? That acronym REAL. You know, and if we just keep remembering, why did my daughter get up and walk across the room to come see something I wanted her to see when she didn't even want to, and she was busy doing something else? What happened there is the very same thing that happens in every interaction. So that acronym REAL, where do we find words that actually have influence? Relationship. Well, I've got a prior relationship here, but we can build that sooner than we think. Empathy. She knew how I knew how she felt in the moment. Add word skill. If I tried to tell her in 10 paragraphs why she should come, she wouldn't have come. Word skill in that case was, hey, Dana, got a sec. You know, that was word skill. Had to be succinct. And she could feel how I was saying it too. It's how it's delivered. Relationship, empathy. So REA, add word skill. L, love the genre. We need to know which genre we're in. What kind of word situation are we in? If I think I'm speaking from stage, when I'm actually networking, like here's my stuff, and here I am, or even speaking from the pulpit, even worse, and I'm actually just meeting new people, disastrous, even if they're perfectly crafted words. I'm creating a 3-hour video, a 3-hour training, very different from a 1-hour training, very different from a 3-minute training. One of my friends, he's well-known speaker and trainer, and he says, like, I charge more the shorter it is. Is harder. And we were on stage each with three. It was my very first time in front of a really big audience. We each had 3 minutes and we were, you know, talking to each other, but like, that's hard, you know, and that requires a lot of craft, right? So much easier to speak longer. So relationship, empathy, word skill, love the genre. So if that's the foundation for practical applications, then if we're going to start close in, and if we're going to use those principles of, you know, real communication, real words that have real results, well, let's start with that person in front of me. Can I go and talk to a real live person? And it doesn't have to be instead of the website and the Facebook ads and all that kind of stuff, right? Let me see. There's probably a person right in front of me that I could, you know, get on the phone or get on a Zoom call with, or have a walk 6 feet apart these days, you know, right? If they're in your community, right? Go for a walk with, whatever it is, but talk to a real live person and engage them in a conversation. And maybe they are exactly the person who could use our services. We skip all that complex stuff. Here's a real person. And then instead of offering a $2 widget, and this goes beyond the scope of what we're doing. Those who are in sales is story, we'll get to that. If you're in the Love Your Words community, we'll get to that. Goodness, I think it's in a few weeks. It's not far from now. We'll a lot more detail on this. Here's like 1 minute on it. We'll get like 2 days on this, all right? But instead of offering that person a $1 widget or a $2 widget, what if I could take the best of my work, find exactly the person who needs it, and charge appropriately for it, so that it's someone who really hears, who really gets the transformation that I can really serve? So what if we could have a really simple business model? Here's a person, I talk to them, I get in a conversation, maybe I can help them. If not, I send them to somebody else. And if I can actually help them, they come and do a deep dive work. And I build my work from that place. I start close in with a real life person. Very simple business model. And from my teacher, Alex Mendoza, one of my teachers, Alex Mendoza, and he said, at a course I took with him many, many years ago, he said, all the headaches, and not, he's not the only one to have said this, but all the headaches are in the front end. All the rewards are in the back end. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand how these business words, right? When all the headaches are in the front end, like you know, that $1 item that you're trying to sell people, it's really hard to do that. All the rewards are in the back end. Somebody registers for a $2,000, $5,000, $10,000, $50,000, $100,000 program. That's so much easier and so much more fun. Right, so a bit of a mind shift at the beginning of 2021, reminding us of some of the places where, that we are. And then the structure of this course as well starts from close in and moves to far away, right? So what we did last time, so there's the foundation of the course. What we did last time, we started talking about, well, if we're going to start close in, what's networking about? I refer you back to that call. If you weren't there, go and catch up with it. Go and listen to it. If you were there, go and listen to it again. I think that's the best call we've ever done on networking. And that's a testament to you guys. You guys are amazing. You bring amazing questions. You bring your energy. You bring all of who you are. And I teach to the level that people are ready for. And you guys are ready, right? So we talked about, remember those networking personalities to emulate and avoid. We had a bit of fun with that last time. And it's not because we're trying to mimic somebody else or be something. I really want to emphasize this, somebody other than who we are. They're just like, be playful with this because we have those people inside us already, all right? Be playful, have fun with this, and just notice, because we've probably been all of those people at some time, right? So for example, you know, have I ever been, you know, self-absorbed, only I matter. Now, maybe if I haven't slept too much and I've got something going on, I'm just all wrapped up in myself. Well, that's not going to serve. If I go in there with that energy, it doesn't matter what words I say. If I come in with a different energy, the words, you know, I don't need these fancy elevator pitches. And again, I think I told you last time, mine sounds like I help entrepreneurs tell better stories so they can grow their companies. There's my pitch. What do I do? Who am I? I'm Dr. Michelle Gunderson, right? And then that, something like that. I've told it multiple different ways. What it is I do, you know, why I do it, who I do it for. Like, it doesn't have to be rocket science, right? So there's, if you want a formula, fill in the blank with those. But, you know, I say it in multiple different ways. So networking personalities to emulate and avoid. And why? Because we want that acronym real communications to be everywhere. Every single one of those networking personalities to avoid, like Miss Know-It-All. Well, I'm so smart and you know, I know these things. And you don't know these things, right? It misses the real part of communication. There's no relationship there. I have no empathy with that person in the moment. There's no word skills. Things that aren't not going to be great words. And I have no understanding of the genre. That might actually even be appropriate. Something more like that if I'm speaking from the pulpit. Hey, you guys, I know about your path. If I'm a preacher and I say, hey, you guys, I know the path to salvation. And let's say I'm a preacher. And here's what you need to do to be on it. Might be appropriate in that genre, right? Not in networking. Right? And Donnie's going, not even there. No, don't do it like that. So 7 personalities to emulate as well. Every single one of them, they're going to be emphasizing or underlining that potential for real communication, that acronym REAL. Miss service on any topic. Now, that's not somebody saying hello and me running in going, oh, here, I sell shoes. Can I help you? That's missing over eager to make a sale or whatever, right? But just actually helping people. It's so old fashioned, this stuff, that we miss it, right? Actually helping people. And we didn't go through it, but 7 principles of networking magic and 8 do's and don'ts. You can read them and you will understand it. Make sure you go to those. Take some time, take some notes, get on a connection call with somebody in this community. How does this work on the court in my life, right? Am I going to take time for that here? But every single one of these matters. And the big thing about networking to remember too is that it's really about service. It's really about connection. Remember my story about my Uncle Paul, how he showed up at my door, right? We remember it's like that. It's just about helping real people. It doesn't feel all schmoozy. It doesn't feel all weird. It's just people meeting each other and helping each other. That's it. All right. I think that basically catches us up with, there's one last piece. to catch us up to where we are in our practical applications. And just, we've come a long ways in just a couple of classes. Can you feel it? It's a complete revolution in how we see, how we use our words out there in the world, where we should even begin, what the foundation should be, and so on. And you know, get so far beyond those filling in the blanksy kinds of, you know, idea about words, right? The last piece I want to recall you to is about that principle of connection. Everything is connected. Everything is and can be connected. One of my core values is connectedness, right? I'm not saying that just offhand. It's like a deep process that I did many years ago. It was named and it was true and it just is. It's one of my deep core values, connectedness. Everything is connected. I think, what was it, a beach ball and a horse or something that we connected last time? We had a couple of people trying it out. Like I remember, was it Marnie, I think, and Yvonne was one of our pairs, for instance, right? How do we, I was at Anne and Andrea last time. You just meet somebody. Well, how do we create that relationship like I've got with my daughter? That can happen in a moment. I network and I meet somebody and people burst into tears or they start laughing. They go, Michelle, how did you know that about me? Connection can happen. Relationship happens through connection, and we can find connection over the weirdest and funnest of things. Funnest, is that a word? I told you the story about the woman from LA, and she actually ended it. It went from meeting her to her investing in something. It wasn't even my thing within minutes. And it started from a connection point about traffic. We think it has to be about our thing. You know, do you love basketballs? If we sell basketballs or whatever it is. No, it's like, wow, what a beautiful purple sweater. That's my favorite color, you know? I'm looking over there at Mary Kay's sweater. I just happened to see it. All right, and they're already, Mary Kay, that's a genuine smile that just came up. And I really actually mean it. I love the color, you know? So it comes from something that's very real. We can connect over anything. And it's really important. That's how those relationships begin. So that's a kind of whirlwind tour of some of the places we've been. I want you to jot down just in this brief summary. It doesn't do justice to what we did. You got to go back and listen to those calls, right, to get how this actually works on the court. But I just want you to jot down your biggest aha from that, or biggest reminder, or the biggest thing you want to bring into your own company in your own life. Always not, does this apply to me? How does this apply to me? Any one thing, so that you've owned it and so that there's space for the next piece. It's 1 minute. One aha. All right. I'd love to hear. I'm loving the chat. I don't always see the chat. Look, Karen says, you guys were hilarious when I listened to the recording. We're here to amuse you, Yvonne. I would always see what's going on in the chat. That's great. I love it. All right. So I think that was like the interactions. People were finding those connections, right? So let's hear one or two of these ahas, just a sentence, because I want to hear what you heard in that whirlwind summary of where we've been in this course. It's a reminder from weeks ago. Represents us so we can jump off from here. What's the aha that you want to share? And an aha, remember Hiram Smith says an aha is a BUFO moment. BFO, blinding flash of the obvious. Oh, I can meet somebody and be connected with them. You know, when we owned it, when we actually get it, it can change our world. So who has an aha they'd like to share? Yeah, Yvonne.
I think for me, it's landing in me about starting close in. Like, it's something that I've heard from you many, 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 many times. And I know that I'm now in a space where I'm actually, because I'm also running a company that I fully stand behind and love and will do anything for now. So it's now it's like, well, yeah, of course, you know, I'm having conversations. Mm-hmm.
How much do, and can you hear all of this behind that? How much I believe in my own work? There's a whole, well, I can and do teach, you know, whole days related to what you just said, right? But how much do I really stand behind that thing that I'm doing? How passionate am I about it? Do I really know that this could make a difference? If I were standing there with, let's say there was a magic pill, all right? A magic pill, and somebody was in like final stage cancer and they were like gonna die in like 5 minutes, okay? And let's say in a world, there was a magic pill and they could just take it. And if they took it, they would be not only, it would go away, but they would be like, let's say they're like 110 years old and they would be instantly 20 again. I mean, I'm just trying to give it something really, really ridiculous. But like, and you were standing there and you knew that if they took this, that would happen to them. And you had a couple minutes with them. Wouldn't you do everything in your power to say, listen, take this? Like, it's like such a sure thing, right? Wouldn't you? Of course you would go and have that conversation. How much do we stand, do we know that what we offer changes the world? And of course, we're going to want to go talk to somebody about it. And Yvonne, it's been super fun watching you. I'm just like, oh, your business exploding. And it happened in what, a few conversations, exactly what we're talking about here, right? So thank you. Yes. And again, it's like, oh, I already know that. Starkless End got that. What else, Michelle? Oh, no, that. And an explosion in your business. Fantastic. Thank you. Let's hear one more aha. Who would like to share something that you just heard now? Mary Kay.
Well, kind of on the same line about the individual connections, but it was like, oh, my question, I would rephrase it now. Instead of the Facebook, it's like, oh, I can use the videos on individual connections.
It's right here in my notes in my response to your question, which is why I wanted to review where we were. And when you, so thank you both for posting some great questions. And that will make more sense to everybody once we get to your questions. But the answers that we have here, the knowledge that we're in and collective wisdom that we're creating here, will give answers in so many other places. That's why sometimes we get to the networking part and people go, I know exactly what to do on my webpage now, you know, on my website, even though we haven't even got there yet, because the principles hold true. Thank you, Mary Kay, I love that. All right, anything bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Yeah, Dottie.
I would like to ask you about, I'm getting ready to teach my class, I hope within a month, my first class in 6 years, trying. Not trying, but preparing. And I'm confused about the price. There are a lot of, like another trainer that I like very much, I've been watching on the internet, is, and he offers videos, not live coaching, is Ted McGrath. And he teaches, and a lot of people teach.
So, Dottie, I'm going to stop you there because I just want to say, like, you've got a question. So, first, I really want to encourage you to post your questions beforehand because, you know, then I can think about them beforehand. But if you've got a quick question.
No, that's okay.
My question is, do you have a question? My question is, so that we can address the question. Is there a particular question that you want me to address for you?
If you could give me, could you give me a little more something about the price should be high to start with. I'm afraid to do that.
So first off, and we used to call it the high ticket virtual retreat. It's now sales as part one of sales as story. The high ticket virtual retreat, which you have access to, Donnie, gives you an entire day, like days training on that. Sorry, I suggest that you go back to that and start there because I can't answer that better in 30 seconds than I can in an entire day. That's the first thing, okay? Second, then, but just to answer it briefly here, here's an inner world story for you that can really shift the needle. What if it's actually easier to sell something that's higher ticket than lower ticket? Why wouldn't it be? Because that means you've got somebody in front of you who really, really needs your work, who really highly can benefit from it, who you have high communication with because they're right in your ideal client zone. And you get to make a difference in their life, which then has a ripple effect out to everybody. So just, I would just want to give you the mindset shift just in this like 1 second here to address that question before we move on. And thank you. It's a great question, Dottie. It deserves a longer answer, and there is one, right? But the shorter answer is that, why wouldn't that be easier? When if I'm selling a $1 widget, that's how much energy that person's putting into it, $1 worth of energy. Who cares? And they often have the most headaches about it too. Well, this elastic band, I didn't really like the color and it broke right away. And will you please refund my $1 from elastic band? Like, no. Over here. And that has a whole ripple effect too of who I'm playing with, what I think of as my value in the world, how much it matters to me and so on. All right. So Dottie, thank you for that question. And I'll refer you to that. And if you want a follow-up question, post a follow-up question in the Facebook page for next week, because we can take it further here as well. All right. Anything else bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward?
Michelle, can I ask a question really quick? Yep. Okay. So you said that you love going deep with people and I'm the same way. And what I realize is maybe that aversion to networking that I talked about in the first session, is that possibly connected to my idea that you can't go deep with networking, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm such a deep person in my life all the time that I feel like, how do I go from just meeting someone to having a conversation that feels like it has depth? And so without trying to, you know, gear someone into a deeper conversation because it feels forceful that way. So mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if you have some sort of strategy that could be used to help me with that challenge.
Absolutely. So, first thing, and if you can just mute yourself too, and if you guys could control the muting just so we have a really nice clear line, just unmute again if you have something else you want to say. Isn't that the problem? We think of networking as some kind of like socialite, weird, I don't know, sometimes I used to feel like it was like that. So then I didn't want to do it. And Kieran, as you suss out that deep, that story that's in there, that story inside you, right? That's the inner world story part. I can't go deep in networking. That's a company blocking inner world story right there.
Great.
Because then all of a sudden I'm going to have to do all kinds of fancy dancing to make sure that I don't do that. And I'm going to have to find some way still to find those. And like, there's a whole lot about your company and how it's built and how you're feeling in it and so on that comes out of that story. So first, congratulations on finding that story. That's huge, right?
Yeah.
And then second, there are multiple pieces of this. And I suggest that you ask me a question for our private work too, right? A follow-up question about this. But and you can ask follow-up questions here as well, just like for Dottie, right? But what if I had the opposite belief? What if instead I believed that I'm surrounded by people who are amazing, people who are craving something deeper, people who actually want a real conversation, people who what if I believed that it's possible to trust much sooner than we actually believe? What if I lived in a world where trust was not only possible, but that is the way that the world works? What if I envisioned the world that I was walking into where other people are that surface level of networking, that other people are tired of that too? And they're going to be so overjoyed when they get to, and I'm seeing like heads nodding around there and people like thinking around the room here, you know? So when I walk into the room and envision that, I'm going to walk into an entirely different scenario, an entirely different life, an entirely different company. And that's why, again, think back to my Uncle Paul story, right? Like, what if I envision the world is filled with people like that? And then if the person I bump into isn't that, and they're like handy dandy here by this, you know, Well, then, I want to add some will, some won't. So what? Someone's waiting, both for networking and for sales and for whatever, you know. I treat that person with the best love and kindness that I can.
Michelle, I just I just want to interrupt for 1 minute. It's not a, for me, it's not about the people, it's about the structure. So if somebody's giving me 1 minute to introduce myself, I get anxious. I feel like, you know, where is their space in that 2 hours or whatever it is? Where is their space to really be me, to go deep with someone and in, you know, enjoy that? So it's not my story about the people. It's a story about how, I guess, maybe it's not a story, but how do I do that in the structure of very limited time?
Mm-hmm. So that's pointing to the genre. What situation am I in? Am I in one of those 1 minute blurbs, right? So that's really like, it's good that you're noticing that, right? From that REAL, love, fall in love with the genre. And remember that in REAL, the acronym REAL is love the genre. How can I fall in love with that genre of that 1 minute thing? And I don't use it the way other people do. I think I told you that story last time, right? One of my clients came to me because it is Shelly. Your name is Shelly. I love that name. And people thought, oh no, Michelle, you're doing it wrong. What if I, and is it, could it be also about trust in a way that you might not be seeing? Like, because what if I really trusted that those people could hear me in a minute? That's a trust of them. That's a trust of myself. That's a trust of the genre that I'm in, and a trust that things work out. And so it may well be about trust, right? I mean, you can investigate that, do some journaling about that. What if I, you know, because sometimes I start out and go, I use that minute in all kinds of different ways, and I use it in ways that are fun, and I use it in ways that amuse me, and I use it in ways that are different each time, and I'm playful and I'm experimenting. And maybe I just notice something about that one person. And so I tell a very different story each time. Yeah, I don't always use that 1 minute in the same way. And if my words are dead to me because I've rehearsed them, that's why I'm not so big on formulas, because I've rehearsed them so many freaking times that I don't care about what I'm saying. Why should anybody else? But sometimes I'll walk in and I'll say, I mean, and my field is story, so, but it doesn't, your field doesn't have to be story to do this. But I'll start out and I'm supposed to do one thing, but I don't do that. I'm not much of a, I'm both a huge rule follower and a big rule breaker. I have both of these personalities, right? The rule breaker in me will come in and not, like, for instance, at eWomen Network, I go to eWomen Network often, right? They have a 1 minute blurb thing. Other places have a 1 minute blurb thing too. And if you don't have a place where you go and meet people in a 1 minute blurb, well, if you could do it in 1 minute, then you're going to be able to do it in, you know, an hour or whatever. That's easier. So, sometimes I'll walk in and I'll just say, let me think of it. Can I think of an example? I just want to tell you guys, I'm super proud of my daughter today because she just passed a really freaking hard test. And one of the things she did was she, whatever, you know, so I'm a proud mom today. One of the things she did was she, she started to think differently about it because it was in her worst course and she hated it. I love that she did that. She told herself a different story. That's what I do. I help people tell different stories so they can grow their companies. You know, I'm like, I just start with something real. Like, wow, you got a daughter. I got a daughter too. And we walk away talking about our daughters. Do you know? Have fun with it. Be playful about it. It doesn't have to be the same way every time. Notice when people are paying attention, when they're drifting off. What if it could be a playground for you instead of a place of performance? Where you got to perform in that 1 minute or else. I don't see it like that. I see it. I see that container. I love the genre now because I see that as a container to be playful, to have fun, that I don't have to gather as many cards as I can in that 1 minute. It doesn't have to be perfect. I can chat with them later. There's going to be more opportunities. I see the world as plentiful. And then it's way more fun. Helpful? Okay, good. So thank you for this. So what I want to do from here, so jot down your biggest aha. Just emptying out the room a little bit so that there's more. There's so much I want to share with you today. So one aha. I'd like to head on over to Mary Kay posted some wonderful questions. I love that from what we've already been doing, Mary Kay, I bet you know how to answer a bunch of these questions now. You already said you did. So and if there's more, follow up with another question. You can post it in the Facebook page, tag and text me if you want me to see it. I'm not always in there, but I will be if you ask me to, right? It's a place for you guys, right, to interact with each other. And post another question for next week too, if we want to take it to another level. So Mary Kay said, I'd like to have an assistant trainer and I'd like them to pay me. How do I do that? That's the essence of the question, right? First step, she said, was to work with the inner world story. I want to change it to a new word, mentorship. I'm going to be mentoring them. Great. Words are really powerful, like that word for a year, like the words that we tell to ourselves about what that 1 minute is, like with Karen. You know, like the words that we tell ourselves about who we are and what prices we're able to charge, like Dottie, right? So even single words matter, and you know, every word matters. And Mary Kay, thinking of it as a mentorship, already changes the box, changes the context. And Mary Kay, great work, right? So then instead of me paying them, that what if they could pay me? And another word that's helpful here is an internship. I haven't done this in my company yet, but I was planning to a couple of years ago. We just went in a different direction. But you can have free work in your company, people who will work for you for free as an intern, like students who are interns. And then can we come from that same place? How does it become win-win-win? You know, how am I not just exploiting them? But you know, if I have that, then it's not gonna work. What if instead they could pay me? Well, why wouldn't they pay me? Because I'm mentoring them. It's an internship. So let's say, and Mary Kay, this might or might not apply to you, but the general ideas will, and then you can adapt it to your situation and for each one of you. Now, does this apply? How does this apply to you? You can go to a local school that trains in your area, for instance, you know? And you might be looking for a different kind of person, right, that you want to mentor. So for you, Mary Kay, it's a working student position. It might be that you want a marketing person in your company, or it might be, so you would go to, you know, you might want somebody who's doing sales for you or whatever, and you could do that for your company as well, right? So first, what's the word you use about it? And then the thing you want to think about, everything we're going to talk about today is going to help. And everything we talk about throughout this whole class, right? How will they benefit? Can I see through their eyes, what's their top of mind problem? We're going to talk about that in speaking in just a moment, right? What's the specific role you need for them, that you have for them? When does it start and end? Can you create a portfolio that they can produce to take to others? If it's a student, that's hugely valuable for this company or for this, you know, for Mary Kay's company. I produce this and that and that and that. And then they can go and get that paid job somewhere that they're coveting, but they so are craving that experience. They can't get anywhere. No one will hire them. You create a portfolio of what they've done because there's very specific things that you want them to do. When you hire them, so here's a whole bunch of places to use your words beyond the scope of what we're doing here, but very quickly for you. What are you going to be hiring for? There's both skills and experience and wisdom and who is it that you want in that position? What do you need them to be able to multitask, for instance? You might not want them to multitask, but I'm just giving one of many possible things that you could need. In my personal assistant, I needed them to be able to multitask and I needed them to be able to be interrupted. Oh wait, Philia, will you just get me this thing? Even though you're in the midst of that other thing, I'm about to walk in and teach. Could you make me a cup of tea right now? You know? So then the words, the empowering words that you would use to them as you're hiring them, you know, what, don't ask them, are you good at multitasking? Instead ask, you know, what did you, you know, give me an example of a time when you had to multitask. What did you do? How did you do it? What were the results? So you get them to talk about their real life experience on the court, right? The other thing you can do is you use your words to envision them. Who is that person? My personal assistant walked into my life because I envisioned her and it was literally a walk in the park. She had her number up in the park to, you know, pull this number if you want. A person like me was right literally in the park. I saw her so clearly. She walked into my life. And it's the same process as finding your ideal client. We'll talk about ideal client the class after next, right? You want to know them the way that you want to know your ideal client the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. Same thing with this person. Who are they? That's a big part of having them walk into your life and then the whole hiring process and so on. First, you got to see who they are. Like Karen walking into that room, envisioning, you know, people who easily are receptive to being able to be in deep relationship, even in a minute, and who are perhaps playful also and fun or whatever it is you want. Envision that, see that, all right? So that's Mary Kay's first question. And again, I'm going to do this like not giving you, I'm just going to give you some fish here, right? And then if you want follow-up questions, go ahead and ask, all right? But these are a lot of great questions. So I want to go quickly here. And then again, Mary Kay post a follow-up. So how can I use the videos I take of training my horses and dogs to make sales and invite strategy calls? Mary Kay already had her own answer to this. All these people are using videos and it's making them bigger out of there in the world. How can I do that too? Well, if I think of the principle of starting close in, there's whole structures and strategies. We'll get to that in the year long in a few months. Marketing is story because it's a marketing function. But if I start close in, what if I could bump into one person that I could talk to and then have them more highly qualified by the time I have that strategy session, real conversation with them? Why not use those videos first in that sequence? Once I've got that close in really working well, then I can use those videos out there in the world and tie it to your marketing calendar. So what do I want to produce out there? What information do I want? It depends on what I'm offering. If you don't have a marketing calendar, then don't do it yet. If my words aren't making sense to you and you don't have a marketing calendar yet, then use it in the way that I said first, close in, all right? So that's my quick, you know, once they've booked with you, what's the thing that you want them to know? How can they get them to, how can you get them to know you better and know this work better, both deepening their access to the pain that they have in your area and wanting a solution more deeply so that that conversation can jump in and be a deeper relationship sooner. Mary Kay, are you tracking on this? Yes, and Marnie, I see you nodding. Thank you. These are great questions. These apply to everyone in the room. I know I'm going quickly. You can go back and listen to the recording again. But again, there's some very specific training I want to get to for you today too. All right. Next question. During Shavasana, what can I do to find the top of my breath? I notice when I try too hard, the left side of my neck and the area around my left collarbone stiffen and hurt. Oh, the answer is in the question itself. When I try too hard. Shavasana, like we did at the beginning of this class, that quiet place is where the deepest words emerge from, right? And Shavasana, on top of that, we build breath work in the yoga tradition. And the biggest mistake people make is trying too hard. And we actually could do Shavasana for years. And if we don't know how to just relax and breathe, we can't build on breath work that does all kinds of things beyond the scope of today's call. So if I notice I'm trying too hard, I stop trying too hard. And then where else am I trying too hard? You know, and it might be trying too hard by needing to get a lot of marketing out there because that's what other people are doing. And so I got to get that out there because I got to, you know, because that's what's going to create influence, because we'll unplug all that in our influence day for those who will be there. But also when I notice that I'm trying too hard, let go. What is it that I'm trying to achieve? All I'm doing is lying there and breathing. That's why Shavasana is such a great practice. Because like, for instance, Karen's question, I'm probably trying too hard in that minute. I'm wanting it to be everything that whole minute. What if I could loosen up a little bit? And so it could be, these are two different people, but it's probably happening for a bunch of us. There's a little bit of Mary Kay and a little bit of Karen in us. I'm trying too hard. Shavasana will tell me that I'm trying too hard over there. I'm leaking energy everywhere. And then everything is a lot harder than it needs to be. The answer is in the question, Mary Kay. Notice when you're trying too hard. Notice where else in your life you might be trying too hard too, like that marketing thing, right? Why not to go the easy route, which practical applications teaches us to do. Then what do I do with all the video I'm taking of training my horses and dogs? And then that was the related. I see others posting their videos. Did I have that written down twice? Oh, okay. I think I've already answered about the videos. If there's a follow-up question, Mary Kay, go ahead and post it, okay? Great, great questions. Thank you. All right. I'd like to hear from one of you, one insight, one aha for you from what Mary Kay was asking and the answers given here, because each of these could be a whole day's training I invite you to go back and listen to the answers I just gave. There's whole levels of things that I said sometimes in just one sentence. Because again, I want to get to some other pieces, but I know also you've got the ears to hear. Who has an aha they'd like to share? Let's start with you, Mary Kay. Yes, it was your question.
I was going to say, can I say one? Can I say one?
Yeah, you go, you go.
Well, I didn't realize that if somebody did a mentorship with me, they could have a portfolio of their own videos. That's my aha.
That one idea. And again, I gave you a whole, there were a whole bunch of things that I gave you there, right? But that one idea could be life and company changing. And then it's going to change the words that you use. Like the words emanate from what's inside us, right? Hey, I've got this idea and it's not that different in structure from a strategy session. And I thought of you first. Would you like to talk about it? I think this might be win-win-win. I think this might benefit you. And then to come from their point of view. And we're going to look at that in speaking coming up in this next moment right now, all right? And then how does it benefit them? And then if they could come out with a portfolio, it's going to change not only the words that you say right at the beginning, but it's going to change your whole energy around it. You start to get excited for them. And then if they say no, it's like, oh, I feel bad for that person, you know, because the next person will take it. That's sales cool. Works that way too. Again, we'll get to that next week. Helpful? Okay, really, really good. Let's hear one more aha from those questions, because they're really rich, Mary Kay, and we can see how it dovetails with everything that we're learning here. Right? If you've got ears to hear, and I know you do. One aha, who would like to share? Marie, did I just see you unmute?
Yes, you did. I just really appreciated having the reminder about it doesn't have to be hard and just checking in. Like one of the things I loved about Mary Kay's question is the embodied sense of it. Like I can feel this in my neck and it's like, yeah, I can check into my body and sense if I'm trying too hard and it doesn't have to be. So that's a lovely reminder. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mary Kay, for the questions and the observation. Marie, thank you for that. What if it didn't have to be hard? Thank you. One of the things we didn't do today is wins. I encourage you, who wants to be first to go post a win and start a thread about wins in our Facebook page? Can I get a hand? Who would like to do that? Thank you. Marie will do that. Thank you. Go post your wins over there. It's so great to share wins. Well, today I'm going to keep going because I want to encourage you also to go over there and share your wins, all right? So go share your wins. Did you go out networking? Did you try it out? What was it like? And there's more to build on. It's not that now I'm done with networking. Now I'm moving to speaking. Now I'm done with speaking. I'm going to move to sales. No, you continue practicing. There's skills that build as well. Their word skills, their communication skills. They are persuasion skills and their influence skills, et cetera, right? Okay. Just take 1 minute, jot down your biggest aha. It's just making a space so you'll have ears to hear the next piece. Just looking for things too that I'm about to share with you. That's the clicking noise you hear. I'm deciding on an order. Okay, thank you. All right, moving into the content for module 3. Module 3, today we may do, we'll finish up the pieces of it next week as well. What we're doing today, we're moving from networking to another genre, another area of using our words, speaking. Now, you can go do entire trainings on networking, you can do entire trainings on speaking, you do entire trainings on sales. In fact, I'm on the team for another event today on a campus where there's it's an entire year on selling, right? So we're not doing an entire year on selling. We're not doing an entire year on, and I'm one of the trainers there, all right? So this is not an entire year on speaking or an entire year on sales. But what I want to give you is the essence. From a word perspective, a word and story perspective, what are the key pieces you need to go out there and speak, right? So I have one person that I can speak to, right? I can go out there and network. Well, what about being in front of, you could even speak in front of one person. Hey, mom, I want to practice. Will you listen to my talk? So you can even do it in front of one person, right? But when it's usually, we think of it as maybe it's two people, my mom and dad. Somebody did that last year. It's like, that was their first talk, right? Or like some of my clients have spoken in front of audiences of thousands and everything in between. So what are the key things we need to speak then? What's that genre about? What are the things that we need? And before we talk about what speaking is, I want to spend a minute about why. Because for some of you do a lot of speaking. At least one of you trains in this area, you know? So some of you have been in front of huge, huge audiences, right? And train on related areas. So some of you, it might be a really new idea, or you haven't been on stages, right? And everything in between, right? So why would we even want to be in front of an audience? Why would this help? What do you think? Let's hear from a couple of you. What, even one thing, like, why would I want to speak? Why should that be a component of my company? What do you think? Karen, I know you have like 5,000 ideas about this, right? It's like holding back because I got 10,000 things to say. Anne, go ahead.
I think I'm not one to give speeches in public, but I teach, and I think we that own companies are our biggest fans. Like we said earlier, we really believe and are behind in what we're doing. So it's probably a good idea to speak about it.
I believe it. I'm behind it. Why don't I speak about it? Like, it's natural when I have that, like what we were talking about when we were talking about to and with Yvonne, what Yvonne was saying. I remember that pill that I was talking about, that magic pill, you know, and I know that that's the thing that I have. Well, why wouldn't I? It's a natural outgrowth. Of course I want to reach people. And I start moving from one-to-many, all right? And I have a message. I have something that I want to say, something I want to get out there. So thank you, Anne. Thank you. You might, an exercise after this call, think about other reasons for you. Go post them in the Facebook page, right? Here, I want to give you a few reasons that we might want to do this. We get to organize our content. What is the most important thing that I have to say? Well, we're going to say it to somebody. I can figure out what it is and I need to organize it. I'm going to understand who my ideal client is. Well, who do I even want to talk to? Well, I don't know. Well, who is it? It gets me onto the path of understanding my ideal client the way J.K. Rowling knows Harry Potter. We'll talk about that more in 2 weeks, but it will help me on that path. I'm going to connect with organizations that could need my work. Who should I speak in front of? And I remember getting stuck here. I was in I did so many speaker trainings, you know, like, you know, year-long mentorships and all kinds of things. And I teach and train about speaking as well. But I used to think, well, what is the one organization? And I wasted time there for a long, long time and I didn't speak. I got to get it right. No, I'm not, this isn't a once and done. Let's just find a bunch of places where I'm going to go speak, where I'm going to go get the message out. So don't fall into the trap that I did. I got to get the right one. Is it this one? Isn't it? No. If we're going to do it more than once, just go and find people. It could start with mom and dad, you know, or your son or daughter or whatever, right? Could start there as practice, right? But it'll get you connected with people who might need your work. Understanding your client's top of mind problem. Because what we say in our speaker sheet is going to address their top of mind problem. So can I get into their mind and understand how they're thinking and what matters to them? Can I speak their language? That's related to organizing our materials in ways that other people can access it. I might know, for instance, that people need story, but they don't walk in knowing they need story to start with. What is it that they're thinking about? And how can I translate what it is that's happening over here to things that they want and need and understand? There's a reason that my signature talk is called Stories That Sell. People might not know yet that they need a story, but they know they want to sell stuff. So starting there, right? It could be stories that network, I start with stories that sell. It gives you a way to meet people so that they can take the next step. Practice speaking about your topic, knowing how you serve people, watching for when they're interested and bored. It dovetails with the networking. When are people paying attention? When am I losing them? So I can find out and continue to hone my craft. This is just one of many reasons to speak. Making money. Right. So the simple talk that I'm going to give you that I've given for what, 5 years now, over five years, it's the same talk. I've got some other talks that I give now too, with that same talk. And I'll go and speak in front of an audience on like $10, $20, $30, $40, $50,000 and more than a 20-minute talk where I can't sell anything. And it's super simple. I want to give you the keys to the kingdom here, right? It's not like the nuanced skill of it, we can learn and deepen. And I encourage you to do that. It's a great thing to do, right? But it doesn't have to be rocket science. It can be super easy, all right? So you can make money, bring revenue into your company, bring abundance into your life through speaking. And by the way, I prefer that not selling. Sometimes if somebody asks me to sell something on their stage, I will, but I prefer not to. And my mentor, Sandra Yancey, she's like this too. Like, don't make me sell. Let me just get in a relationship with these people. I could sell to a certain percentage of them, 10 or 20 or 30%. If you're doing really well, it's more than that, right? Or I could get in a longer term relationship, remember, real communication with them. And then, what if I could be in a relationship with most of that audience? I've got a free gift that I give them. They join my list. Now we're in communication. And it can be simple. I have, here's the five top things to know in my area where people have pain, right? We'll talk more about that in an upcoming call, right? I just give them a gift and then we start talking and then I can invite them into further work. So if it makes sense to you and your company to do some speaking, raise your hand. Did I get there? That it might make sense to do? Thank you. All right. What I want to do right now is share with you, and these documents are up in Story Freedom Academy, and these are just for your eyes, right? For your eyes only, because what I'm giving you here is the keys to the kingdom. Now, nothing will happen unless you go out there and do it, but it's just like the networking. It's easier than you think, and what it requires is just getting out there and doing it. That's the most important thing I can teach you about speaking. The most important thing, and I mentioned on the last call, go book a speaking engagement. Who did that? Who booked a speaking engagement? Mari, congratulations. Fantastic, right? So, and Dottie, is that a celebration? Or, go book a speaking engagement. When you book it, it's real. I encourage you all that's your homework for home play for this week. Well, I strongly encourage you to do it. Between now and our next call, go book a speaking engagement. And how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to start far away and I'm going to call the head of the speakers association that I don't know. Are you going to start far away there? No, you're going to start close in. These principles work everywhere. You probably know somebody who needs your work. It could be in your living room, their living room, whatever, start close in with a contact, somebody you know who needs your, go get booked. Then all this teaching will become real, right? Then you'll have other questions and post, even if you haven't, go and post your questions anyway, all right? But all this will become much more real when we're on the court together, right? So so here's what I want to share with you, and take some time. You guys can see this document if you can, like thumbs up or celebrate. So I know you can see the document, Stories Itself. Can you see it? Thumbs up. I can only see some of you. So can you see my document? Yes, okay. This is my speaker sheet. This is not even my most recent version of my speaker sheet. You all need one of these. We've done a different one since then, but actually, I've asked Amy to post it for you as well. We just redid it this summer, but this is the one. This speaker sheet has brought me tons of speaking engagements. And like I say, it's made $10, $20, $30, $40,000 when I can't sell, right? And there's just a couple things that I wanna underline about this. You all wanna do this. It's not rocket science. In the title of it, Stories That Sell, what is it? You want something of their pain and something about how you help them. Three keys to gain confidence, inspire action, and sell more with powerful stories. My people want that, right? They might not even know they want stories yet, but they know they want to sell stuff. Clear transformation. in my field, I need to teach people a little bit. I say most entrepreneurs know that we need good stories for business. Hence, they might not know it actually, right? But I'm teaching them in that moment. And if you go and look at the two talks that I've posted, I posted one of my 4-minute talks and an 8-minute talk. You can go, I wanted something short that you can consume easily. It's over there in Story Freedom for you. They were done for very different audiences for very different reasons. But you're going to see that I use many of the same elements, whether it's a long talk or a short talk. And it is a version, especially if you look at the 8-minute one, of that same talk that is sold so much for my company. And this is for like a 20-minute version or an hour-long version, has this structure. It reminds them of their pain to start out. Oh, wow, I need stories in all those areas. Shoot, it's all over my company. What they don't know is how to tap into story two, and again, all the things that my people want. You impact the bottom line. And here I'm emphasizing the bottom line. Doesn't have to be that way. I've got other talks to do other things. Then you need some bullet points, 3 to 5. I usually use 5 bullet points, doesn't have to be. What is it that's their top of mind problem? One of them, let me point out number 3, how understanding story form can take you from being exhausted and overworked to easily landing the deal. A lot of entrepreneurs are exhausted and overworked. Story can do that, because I just learned from above that story is maybe more important than I thought. How incorporating the well-told story in your business can increase your sales 5-fold and beyond. And I've got stories that show them how this has happened, right? If you ever feel like you're talking, but no one is hearing you, how do I know how to say those things? Because that's what my clients have told me. I feel like nobody's listening, Michelle. And I use their actual words here, right? So I have a speaker sheet. And your job is to construct this. The faster, once you've got your booked, then you're going to go, hey, what are you going to be talking about? You're going to get this built quickly, right? My first version didn't look like this. I went through lots of iterations. But something about what they're going to learn at the talk, have some bullet points, and have the main point of the talk in your title, right? Not rocket science. A little bit about yourself. My first one didn't look this fancy at all. Now we've got a new version of it. Here's the thing I'm talking about, and here's what you're going to learn, right? So I'm going to stop sharing for a minute. If it feels like you've got something that you help people with, and you could teach them a couple things about it, your ideal client, raise your hand. There's something you help people with and you, thank you. You can do this, not rocket science, okay? So that's what it looks like when I invite people. Now here's the secret sauce, and I wanna share. Do you remember there were those bullet points about what they're gonna learn? I don't structure my talk that way. That's their top of mind problem. I just go, here's the answer, here's the answer, here's the answer, here's the answer. Great, I'm full. Thanks, Michelle. I want to show you, and again, for your eyes only, how simple my talk actually is. I weave those things that they want into the talk. I'm going to fulfill on the promise of the talk. But I want them to enter a different world when they come to the talk. I want to shift their perspective. So they see the world in a new way. And when they enter into this world, they're going to want to take the next step, right? So I want to show you, hang on, I just got to figure out how to share this with you. And this is super fun. I want to share a storyboard with you, all right? Hopefully I can share it in a way that, yes, okay. If you can see my storyboard, raise your hand. Okay, this is the actual talk. This is the talk that has made tons of money for this company. And you can do this too. And I didn't create this storyboard. You can see Deborah LeFranc, I don't even know her. I gave this talk in front of an audience of 50 people. I've given it to a couple people. I've given it to audiences far bigger. And she was in the audience. She didn't know me. She created this storyboard of the structure of my talk. You can see it was May 8th. It was eWomen Victoria from what I was saying. The structure of the talk was that clear that she knew what the main points were, right? I asked you to read. How many of you have read Anatomy of an Empowering Story? Raise your hand. Okay. If you haven't, go back and read it. And it's over there in Story Freedom Academy. What the essence of Anatomy of an Empowering Story, my free gift, it's an e-guide, is the very same as my talk. Is the very same as an hour long talk, is the very same as the essence, the most important piece of what I did in that 4 minute talk or that 8 minute talk. If I have a few minutes with people, I am always going to teach them this. One, stories are everywhere. Two, there are empowering and disempowering. Can you see that right in the middle? She could not miss it. And I repeated myself. And then I gave examples and I told stories. I will always teach this. One, stories are everywhere. Two, there are empowering and disempowering stories. And three, you can choose. Now, I'm going to stop sharing just for a second. We'll come back to this in a second. Let's say that was in my speaker sheet and I told them that that's what I was going to teach them. How many people would come? No one would come. They don't think that that matters, right? But for instance, I mean, it's what brought Marnie here. It was a version of that talk. I don't know if you remember even, right? That's the talk that brought you here. And it was in front of a different audience. It was an audience of writers. And I don't usually, these days, I haven't spoken in front of an audience of writers recently. So it took a couple tweaks, different audience. But in that pool, there are going to be some people that are probably my ideal clients. They're not all going to be entrepreneurs and they're not going to be my client. But that was the talk, for instance, that brought Marnie here, right? And brought a number of you here, right? So a talk has a main point. It's like the 5-paragraph essay that we all learned, right? Here's the thing I'm going to teach people. Here's 3 points that I'm going to teach. And then see this, you could change the story. What's your best next story step? It takes them somewhere. She put it in bold letters, right? So very, very simple structure. And see, why does it matter? On the left-hand side, better results, more sales, your story transforms and supports others, right? Some of the things she said, my journey at the beginning, I'm gonna grab people at the beginning. I wanna be both credible and vulnerable. I want them to know that I know my stuff in my area. So I'm going to drop in something that makes me be credible in front of them. I'm also going to say something that's going to allow me to be vulnerable, to connect with people, all right? So not rocket science. That is the essence, that's the structure of my talk. And then I want to give you, so there's the, you know, what I promise people. I start with their top of mind problem. And again, we'll come back to this in when we get to other genres, sales, online and so on. So we're going to see some of these elements again. That's what I promise people, because I know that's what they're thinking of. Wow, I'm tired. Wow, I'm not selling stuff. Wow, you know, and it's related to the work we do. How are they thinking? What do they want? That goes in the speaker sheet. You can model mine, right? You can use as a model. Then how I actually structure the talk, it's so much simpler. And I want to share with you one more document. Again, keys to the kingdom. You guys can do this. And it's not, again, it's not rocket science. So again, I want to share my screen. 10 keys to great speaking. 10 keys to great speaking. Begin with the end in mind. I need to know where I want them to go at the end, or I can't figure out the structure of my talk. I'm just gonna do something random, like I'm gonna follow those bullet points and everybody's gonna go, wow, great talk, Michelle, but nobody wants to do anything afterwards, all right? And often where I suggest you go, it's not to sell something directly, although you can do that too, but I would much rather offer a strategy session. I would much rather offer a free gift, because then I'm in conversation with them. Then I can meet with them and we'll talk about how to have that conversation next week, how to have that, what I call a strategy session, a conversation with somebody who might be able to enter into your work. Begin with the end in mind. You can start with and if you don't have anything built yet, like, hey, you can come and talk to me, right? And all of the talk is gonna revolve around where you're taking them in the end, right? The end for me, when I give that talk, it's like, hey, if you really understand that stories are everywhere and they're happening at all levels of your company and it's blocking you in all kinds of ways that I don't even know how it is unless I talk to you, why don't you come and talk to me and I'll help you figure out your best next step. Can you see how simple that is? Begin with the end in mind. Number one, know your audience and purpose. This is the biggest mistake. Actually, these first two, I have to say, they're tied for the biggest mistakes that most speakers make. because I don't even know where I'm taking them. So I don't, like, how do I know what to say to them? I don't know where I want, what action I want them to take. I have to begin there. Biggest mistake people make. So the other big mistake, I don't know what my audience is and I don't know what my purpose is. Uncle Bob, let me see. Do I want to tell you that story right now? Because we're coming toward the end of the class. Marie, will you text me and say, talk about Uncle Bob next time? I'll tell you that. Thank you. I will tell you guys the story about Uncle Bob next time. I need to know my audience and I need to know my purpose in deeper ways than people think. It's a huge mistake people make. I used to teach this at the university at the beginning of almost every class that I taught. It was a 2-hour version of it. And I'll give it to you guys in 5 minutes, right? It's crucial for understanding how we set up our talk. We need to know who they are and what it is I'm trying to get across. I told you about the simple talk structure. We talked about that. Ho, hum, so what? What this means is I've got to grab their attention at the beginning, or why should they listen? You can watch me do that at the beginning of the 4 and the 8 minute talk. You craft your version of that. And part of that, ho, hum, imagine the audience is bored, like entertain me. I've listened to 10 speakers today. I'm thinking, dreaming about what I'm having for lunch. They're bored, they're disengaged. Grab their attention. Imagine them going, ho, hum. Part of the way you do that is by being both credible and vulnerable at the beginning. Watch me do that in those little talks. Keep asking yourself the question, so what, throughout. Why does it matter? And ask that at the end. So what? Why does it matter? And again, I'm going through this pretty quickly, but then follow up with questions. Get yourself booked in a talk and then ask me more about this. And we'll start our call, like we started with finishing, you know, reminding about networking. We'll start a call with talks and move into sales next time, all right? What's the single domino? There's an idea that people have about the way the world works that has them stuck, that's in your field. When there's a single domino, like you knock over one domino, everything follows. When they make this shift, everything follows. In my world, it's that stories are everywhere. Stories are everywhere. When people start to understand that, they're inside our heads as well. They're not going to come to me just for their little elevator pitch. They're not going to go to somebody else as well who might help them craft that, just that story in their talk, but is missing that that story is not connected to where the talk is going and they don't get the results they want. Once they understand that stories are everywhere, there's nobody else in the field of story who does what this company does. I remember somebody talking to me the other day. She's like, I know every story, the best story people on the planet, Michelle. She's like, you do something and nobody else does. It's the best. That's because she understood that for her, she'd entered into that world through that single domino, that one idea that needed to shift. She got the stories are everywhere. And again, you can go and listen to more home play for you. Go listen to that 4-minute talk, listen to this, to the 8-minute talk. In 8 minutes, everybody wanted the gift in the room. Everybody wanted the gift. It was like a huge audience. Everybody wanted the gift that I was giving. And it was very simple, simple, simple talk, just 8 minutes. But I needed to get that stories are everywhere, then they get it. Make one point, find details to support it. You could see how simple from my storyboard the talk is. I'm only trying to get across one thing at a time. Stories are everywhere, but have it land. Okay. What's their top of mind problem? I'm gonna have to weave that through the talk and it's gonna be in those bullet points, right? I have to address that for them, but find out what they want and then also give them what they need. They don't come knowing that they need to know stories are everywhere. They just want to sell more stuff. Well, if they really want to sell more stuff, you have to understand that the stories in your head is blocking you from even speaking on stage or whatever it is, right? And if you understand that, hey, come and have a conversation with me, all right? So what's their top of mind problem? Keep it simple. Move from pain to hope. Marie, will you also, because I'll say a little bit more about that next time. And then this is the most important thing I want to get to as we're wrapping up here. If you need to go right away, of course, I respect and honor that we're at our time. We'll get ahas and inspired actions from people, after this 2 o'clock point here. But I want to emphasize this is the most important thing I could say about talks. Problem, solution, problem, solution. You solve a real problem for them in your talk. They're going to have a problem left. And the solution is that place that you're taking them to. Their problem is they want to sell stuff. The solution is come to my talk and find out the most important things you need to know about stories you can sell stuff. The problem that remains is there's stories everywhere in your company. I don't know where yours are. It's a genuine, real follow-up problem. You get it? The solution is come talk to me and I will genuinely hold space for you to figure out together where your biggest leap is in story for you, like where you can make the biggest leap in your company. What's probably holding you back and what truly is your best next step? It's a genuine problem that I've solved. Now they have a new problem and it's a new step. If I have that, I can even forget all the other stuff and that talk will land. All right, that's a whirlwind tour of essentials for speaking. Most important thing, go get booked, go play with it, keep it simple, figure out what their pain points are, and have a problem-solution structure. If you just had that, and get out there and practice, and you'll see what's working, what's not, where you lost them, people step forward, people didn't. Got to be on the court, just like with networking, be on the court, try it out, even if it's in front of your kid to start with. You want to be in front of your ideal clients, right? But, you know, do it in front of your, if you've got clients, you know, that, hey, can I practice this talk in front of you? Or in front of your mom and dad, or for some of you, audiences of thousands or anything in between. Go and practice, be on the court, all right? So, from networking to speaking, different genre, different things that we need, all of the same principles. All of these, you can see I'm creating a connection. I'm actually trying to help people. All the things we learned over there with networking and our words, they all still hold true. Just a slightly different genre with a few different rules so that I can be effective, right? And thanks, Dottie, appreciate that. One aha, one inspired action to bring us home and this to be continued. We'll land those last pieces about speaking, get on the court, book a talk. All this will be much more real when you're giving a talk the week after next, right? And you're up in my upper left-hand corner. One aha, one inspired action, a check-offable thing. So you know you're doing something. That could be, I'm going to book a talk so that this teaching goes out into the real world. And
I think the aha moment is, for me, is I started my talk last, I did write my talk last year, but I never used it, except I dug it out this summer and I used it at my adult horsemanship class. And I thought, oh, I need to work on this. So my aha moment is do it over, do it better. And yeah, don't ignore it because it isn't hard.
Yes, thank you. And I did lots of other talks before I did this one. You know, it's like, be on the court, do it, have fun with it, play with it. Same things I was saying about networking too, right? And if it just sits there on the shelf, it's like it could be perfectly crafted, so what? And thank you, love it. And your inspired action?
To pull it back out and start working on it again.
Thank you, and then start working on it. And then are you gonna book a date?
Okay. I'll try.
Can you see the difference, right? Can you see the difference, right? Because I could keep working on it, keep working on it, keep working on it, and I'm still not doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. So
my employees probably.
So you're going to book a date?
Yeah.
Yes. Did you see that went from try to doing? That's world changing. Thank you, Anne. Love it. Karen.
It was great to hear everybody, you know, in regard to your speaking. That's wonderful. I think for me, more of my ahas came, you know, earlier in our conversation. So does it have to be about speaking or can it be something else?
It's an aha from the class. It's all like, we did a whole bunch of things in this class. What's your biggest aha?
Yeah, I think it's, well, there was so many things today, so I'm just swimming in all of that. But I think the part for me is really about embracing ways to create deeper connection without assuming that a structure holds me back. So I think what you said earlier is really important, is how we assume certain things creates our reality, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think for me, my inspired action is one of my clients owns a huge networking company in Calgary. So she keeps inviting me to come. So I'm going to go.
Karen, fantastic. So perfect for you. Yes. And yeah. I love this piece about the, you know, assuming a structure holds me back, every word matters. Remember, in that real connections and real relationships and real communication is love the genre.
Yes.
I can learn about it, but can I fall in love with the structure I'm in? What story would I need in order to do that? So thank you for that. It's like every piece that we do here, there's nothing extra.
And I feel like it's really for me about acceptance of what is. Can I work in the structure of what has been given to me and really fully accept it? And I think that our conversation today has led me to believe that that's really the key, the first key.
Yes, I love it. Here, yeah. I'm walking into this and this is a situation. I'm speaking for 4 minutes. I'm speaking for 8 minutes. I'm networking for 1 minute. I'm doing a 3 minute video. Here's the structure. How do I fall in love with it? There's something beautiful here. And I need to learn what the structure is and the rules of the game there. And then what would it be not just to do it, but to fall in love with it?
Yes, I love yes. that. Thank yeah. you.
Beautiful, you're welcome. Yvonne, you're up next.
For me, being playful, when I have my conversations, they don't have to be stuffy or, you know, like just yes. like just having fun.
We all get so knotted up. Like, what do they say? Panties in a bunch. Like, you know, like we get all knotted up about stuff. And it's like, what if it could just be fun? What if it could just be playful? I mean, kids know that. Then we forget it. You know what? We could get back there. Thank you, Yvonne. What's your inspired action?
I actually forgot that I do have a speaking engagement later this month. I was invited to be on a podcast, but let's see if I can find another one.
I'd love that. Thank you, Yvonne. Beautiful. Dottie, you're up next.
It was an absolutely fantastic course today. Thank you. My inspired action is to reread The Anatomy of Empowerment. Oh, empowering story.
Good. Great thing to do. You're going to see these principles carried out there. Yeah. Thank you. And what's your aha today, Dottie? One aha.
My aha was show that you're in love with your material.
Mm.
Love the material.
When I'm in love with it, everything changes. Remember those two pills? I mean, it's a silly little story, but you'll remember. It's memorable, right? Oh, there, of course I would. What if I felt that way about that thing that I do? It comes from there. Thank you. Marie, you're up next.
There was a lot here. It was amazing. So one of the things that struck me in AHA is the speaker sheet, the 10 keys. It's not just for speaking. It's for creating any business content.
Everything that we're doing here is going to have applications in a whole bunch of other places. Thank you for noticing that, Marie. I'm not always going to underline it. Your inspired action.
I'm going to go to the Story Freedom Academy and print out the 10 keys. So I use that as a guide for the business content I'm creating.
There is a wealth of resources over there in Story Freedom Academy. Please make use of it. Thank you. Yes. Marnie, you're up next.
I was going to say the storyboarding, but as I was making the notes to myself, I realized it's really the domino. I do a lot of mind mapping. And as I was thinking of that, I saw the image of the domino and of the key points and then what everything is that follows from that. Mm-hmm. And I have a presentation that I was asked to do. So I was kind of going, oh, what do I do with this group? And you were talking about, you know, what is it they're looking for and what's the purpose? And then when I saw that domino, I thought, okay, that's all I need to know is what's the domino that sets it off. So that was huge for me. And my inspired action is to apply that to the presentation I'm doing within a couple of weeks.
Fantastic. Yes, beautiful. And more to come about that audience and purpose. We'll talk about Uncle Bob next week. Mary Kay, you're up next.
My aha is trust that people will hear you.
Yes, thank you for hearing that.
And yes. My inspired action is I forgot I did book a call a speaking engagement for March 6th. And so I'm going to revise, but I want to revise my outline.
Fantastic. Yes. On the court, actually in front of people that we could serve. What could be better than that? Thank you all. And thank you all for staying. I know we're well over time here today. Have a fantastic week. See you next week. Same time, same place. Remember to post your questions. Remember to use the Facebook page. It will be as useful to you as you decide it to be. All right. Have a great week.
The questions for next week is already out.
Yeah, and
fantastic. Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you.
Four Winds is up too. So don't
thank hold you. Yay. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye for now.